Get ready to jump off Zod. We're going to get you with the hard count.
Come on!
Hosted by two guys who babble more than Manning at the line of scrimmage.
Red, right, orange, purple!
Here's Aaron Nagler.
Don't shut me up!
And Andrew Garda.
I'm freaking velvety smooth.
And here we go.
That's right, folks. It's the hard count. I'm Andrew Garda. Tonight, flying solo. Aww. My co-host with the Moho Host is Moho Hostly not here. Aaron Nagler couldn't make it tonight, but we did want to get a show in, so he gave me the go-ahead to fly by myself. It's been a crazy week. Both of us had kid birthdays, and he, of course, has his birthday. And the heat probably melted most of the roads between my house and his, so it just got to be too much. But there's enough things to talk about to where we thought a show would still be worthwhile to you guys. And, of course, as everyone who has followed my work before knows, I can talk for hours all by myself. So, lucky you, folks. You know, a lot of what's going on right now is, of course, labor-centric. We're in a holding pattern. We're waiting. We're waiting. We're waiting. The other day, the owners went ahead and ratified a deal. Now, let's just be clear about exactly what they did. Because while DeMaurice Smith and Roger Goodell spent most of the week on the phone together, the owners kind of just went ahead, and what they really ratified, what they really went okay on, we're going to be on the same page, this is fine, is it an offer to the players. Now, the offer, of course, covers most of what the players were worried about in the first place. But, again, it wasn't like both sides said, okay, this is the deal, and then the owners went one way, the players went the other, and everybody was voting. The owners went and did this on their own timetable. They were worried about preseason. They had the league meeting scheduled already. So they kind of went ahead and made the vote because they were there. Of course, if you were following, all hell broke loose. Thursday night, pretty much people lost their minds. It looked like the deal went through because the way that it was given to us here, you know, both in the media and folks at home, was that, you know, the owners rubber-stamped an approval. We have a deal. Goodell came out and said, we have a deal. We have forged labor peace. Huzzah! Except for one small detail, which is nobody told the players. And, in fact, the players didn't have a copy of the treaty, whatever you want, the CBA, until they had a phone call last night. They got it either in the middle of the phone call or before the phone call. But between Goodell's announcement and that phone call, pretty much all hell broke loose. People went just nuts. There were rumors that the owners had tweaked the revenue sharing in regards to the players. There were, you know, questions that they may have changed other things. Just nobody knew what they were talking about. And it was chaos. It really was chaos. If you were watching what was going on, it's sort of unbelievable. Like, talk about, you know, Twitter being the best and worst of instant communication. Just watching the Twitter feed and players losing their minds and, you know, agents losing their minds and, you know, media people. I mean, it's funny. A friend of mine, a compatriot, a fellow staff member at footballguys.com, Jason Wood, who is also a fantastic finance guy, and also a co-host of a podcast called 11 O'Clock Comics. He's a big comic book guy, knows his stuff. If you like either of those things, if you like money, or you like comic books, or you like both, look Jay up. So J.B. Wood there was essentially like, you know, I've never seen media people seem to have such an axe to grind. And he had quotes around media because what he was really talking about was a lot of online media. But the fact of the matter is that there is a real divide in the media in terms of how people are approaching this. There were certainly some tweets from mainstream media guys that were very player-friendly and some that were very critical of the players. And, I mean, here's my take on this, okay? Because the players didn't vote for anything last night. And there's a lot of frustration. If the owners did this to make the players look bad, mission accomplished. Because they don't look very good right now. you know, a lot of the reaction I'm seeing on Twitter, in emails, on message boards is like, well, you know, what the heck's wrong with the players? Just rubber stamp this thing. 10 years of labor peace. Money for the vets. What could possibly be wrong? What's your problem, guys? Well, there are a couple of problems. You know, certainly there's some things where they're trying to figure out how the salary cap's going to work, the floor specifically, how that's going to work. The owners have been trying to close a loophole in California's workers' compensation benefits. I think it's essentially if one of these players plays a game in California within a certain amount of time, they can actually file for workman's comp. And the NFL wants you to file in your home state. So if you play for the Bengals, you file in Ohio. The players wanted to add an opt-out. Now, on the one hand, I don't like it. I don't like the opt-out. I love the 10-year deal. I mean, Aaron, sort of facetiously, a few weeks ago was like, I just want to see a 10-year labor peace. Just, I don't care what it takes to get it done. 10 years, please. I mean, and I think he was only really half serious about it, but, you know, 10 years is a long time. You know, it would be nice to not have to go through this anytime soon. The players want an opt-out for either side, owners or players, at the 7-year mark. There would be a, from what I understand, pretty big penalty if you did opt out, but you could opt out. Now, on the one hand, just for goodness sake, you just take 10 years and let it go. It's 10 years. That is, I mean, you got, the players held fast. They got a ton of stuff that they wanted. The owners got a lot, too. I mean, it seems to me like a good deal overall. There are little niggling points, but by and large, seems like it's a deal that should please everyone. You know, I don't even think that there are a lot of people going to walk away cheesed off about it. But if you think about it long term, think about how much the world has changed in the last decade. Think about what I'm doing right now. 10 years ago, and I know because I was one of the first people doing this, but 10 years ago, people didn't know what a podcast was. If you weren't on the radio, nobody heard your voice. If you weren't writing for a major news outlet, nobody saw your work. In the last 10 years, I mean, when I first started podcasting, I think it was in 2002, and all we were doing was recording an MP3, which is really all I'm doing now, and we'd post it. I was working for a friend's fantasy football website that is now defunct. It actually changed names first. And nobody knew. It was, you know, it was just guys talking football. You know, and some people listened, some people didn't. Really didn't ever think it was going to be huge. You know, now, not only do you have some pretty significantly big online shows, Cheesehead TV, the Packers Transplants show. You know, look at, there is a site, a couple of guys I know from Los Angeles, NFL Rants and Raves. They've got a huge YouTube channel now. They're doing, like, 5-minute podcasts, sometimes multiple times a day, videos. I used to be on blogtalkradio.com's fantasy channel. That's a big thing. All of this stuff has suddenly come up. I mean, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Think about how digital media has changed. Think about how many things technologically have changed. In labor agreements, you know, for anything that sort of deals with that content, those have been really difficult agreements. And again, you know, I'll kind of bring out my good old I was a Hollywood guy, you know, rant here, but when the Writers Guild struck 3 years ago now, four, I was working for Nickelodeon in the animation industry. Animation writers are not part of the Writers Guild. Part of what the Writers Guild was trying to do is get them under their wing, but that didn't work because ultimately they don't care all that much. That's a rant for a different podcast entirely. But one of the things that was a sticking point in that deal was how people get paid for digital content, i.e., if I'm watching something on Netflix, if I download something from iTunes, how does the writer get paid? How does the actor get paid? How does the director get paid? How do you track the studios? And I've made the connection between entertainment and sports before, and I'll do so again. we're in a place right now where sports will be online wholesale, in my opinion, sometime in the next 5 to 10 years. It's kind of there anyway. Major League Baseball, hockey, there are various leagues that have done some online content. I've talked before on my shows about what I think is one of the best apps on the iPhone, the March Madness app, where I can watch live college basketball during March Madness on my freaking iPhone. It's there. I know if you're overseas, you can watch football. If you're listening to this overseas, you may already know you can watch football games streamed overseas. You can watch live NFL games on your computer. They're not doing it here because they're locked into a deal with DirecTV, but don't think they're not thinking about it, because the NFL is always thinking about the next revenue stream. Heck, you can watch college football on ESPN.com. I think it's ESPN 360. It's there. And don't think that someone somewhere in the players' organization, be it the NFLPA leadership, be it their agents, be it their lawyers, someone's got that on their mind. So that 7-year opt-out, to me, from a long-term strategic thought process, makes all the sense in the world. Because things will change tremendously between now and then. Now, you might say, Andrew, couldn't you hang on another 3 years? Is it that big a deal? I don't know. I don't know what the future will bring. I don't know how it's going to work. But I wouldn't be shocked is if at some point you got a copy of the 500-page agreement that they end up with, and it could be longer or shorter, when this is all done, somewhere, somehow, there's some wordage, some verbiage to do with online content. Because that will be a huge revenue stream, and you can be sure that the people in charge of the players, maybe not all the players, because God love them, but they're not always the brightest bunch. And mind you, I could say that about the owners, too. But there are people on both sides who know about that. So that 7-year opt-out, to me, makes sense. I don't like it, but it makes perfect financial and business sense to me. Other things that are concerns that are sort of sticking points. The players want, essentially, I think it's $320 million in lost benefits to make up for the 2010 season. Essentially, that they sort of lost. This would probably be tied to the lockout insurance case. They're just basically saying, we want those benefits restored. And that's basically the damages we'll get for the league trying to do an end run with the TV money. And of course, you know, the Brady antitrust case needs to get dealt with. The franchise tag is still on the table and a problem. So, I mean, there's definitely issues here still to be solved. So, I mean, aside from all of that, kind of getting back to why I got on that little, you know, side note. Yeah, I read all these people on Twitter, and I, you know, people I respect, too. Like, not just people I've never met or talked to before. And almost all of them are ticked off at the players now. And I gotta tell you, man, I'm gonna ask y'all a question. How many of you, now for any amount of money, let's say for what you're making at your job now, let's say you make $40,000 a year. I'm just picking that out of the air. More or less. Whatever your salary is for a year, take that number, use it for this. Someone, your boss, comes to you and says, hey, we're renegotiating your contract. And you guys go back and forth for a little while. Maybe it's a little contentious. Finally, they come back to you with a huge document. Said, all the stuff we basically talked about is in here. Here you go. Sign it. You tell me. Do you, A, sign it without looking at it? B, glance at it real quick? Or C, take a really close look at that contract? And you could put your hands down if you think you were A and B, because you're not. You're C. You're either reading it, or you're having your lawyer read it. And the fact of the matter is that the players have had that for 24 hours. It's a 500-page document. I had somebody say, well, you know, I know I know that people, you know, I know women who read romance novels in a quick amount of time. It seems like the players can't read. It's a 500-page legal document. Not all the players are going to read it. And, you know, I know the guys who follow this podcast on Cheesehead TV, I know you guys know that, say, Aaron Rodgers has tried to be in touch with everybody on the team, but not everybody has been interested in following what's going on. Fine, I get that some of the players don't care. Or don't care enough to really research, or figure that Breeze and company know what the heck they're doing. And we'll touch on Breeze and the Fantastic Four a little bit later, by the way. A little Chris Cluey talk, because I can't not talk about that dude right now. But there's certainly enough players who want to know what's going on to where they want to have the bullet points at least. They want to talk about it. They want to see what's going on. They want to be fully informed. And you know what? The executive committee has to read most of the thing. The lawyers have to go over it. There's a lot of stuff going over, and you're telling me you're just going to lock up into a room over this weekend solely because the owners decided that midweek at their little meeting, they had to vote, and now the players have to do, you know, the same. No, you're going to look that contract over. You're talking about billions of dollars here. And let's be honest, the owners haven't been the most trustworthy people. For an example of that, may I point to the TV case. If I'm the players, I'm not trusting the owners. Nor would you. And if you do, then maybe you're drinking a little too much owner Kool-Aid. Now, before you come at me with the, well, you're just a player shill, the players have dragged their feet enough. And there's enough, you know, of this trash on their lawn as well. But to me, I would rather them take 6 days, which is kind of what we're hearing right now, and get everything right and be happy and have labor peace for 7, 9, 10, whatever years, then have them rush into this and we're back where we are right now in 3 to 4 years. Only now it's a strike because the players are ticked off and they don't have a way to opt out. I'd rather have the players happy. Not overjoyed. Nobody's going to be overjoyed with this contract. It was never going to happen. I'd rather have them happy and contented, at least, than them get shoved into a contract they're not sold on. So I'm calling y'all out. If you guys are out there complaining the players aren't moving fast enough, that you would just be out there rubber stamping, I'm sorry, man. I say you're lying. Because there's no way in hell you sign a contract put in front of you without being thorough about it. Yeah, all right. So you do that every time iTunes wants to update. Or maybe you do that when you sit down and you sign your phone contract. But if you're talking about this much money, if you were talking about your livelihood, your job, and maybe a job you only have for 5 years, because the NFL is that tough and it will chew you out and spit you up. Chew you out and spit you up. It's hot, folks. It's like 100 degrees. I'm sorry. You gotta crawl before you can walk. Anyway, you know, that's... If you're lifetime, all you were going to be earning your money, which out of the 1,900 players, most of them are going to work for 5 years. You'd be damned sure that that contract was right and that you were on board for it. And if you're telling me something different, then you, my friends, are a little deluded and you're a little self-deluded. Because if you would sign a contract put in front of you that had to do with this much money, or again, let's bring it real, because you are not the players and your bosses are not the owners. But if you would sign a contract without reading it, without paying attention to it, about your salary for an entire year, then I got a bridge in Brooklyn that I can sell you. I'll just put the contract in front of you, give me a couple grand, and we'll be good. It's a bargain, folks. Now, I want to talk to Cluey about the Cluey thing, but there was something else that I saw today that just kind of made me laugh. There was someone who tweeted a backpatting tweet, I guess, to Jay Glazer of Fox News. And before I get into this further, let me just preface this by saying, I love Jay Glazer. I think he does fantastic work. The MMA stuff is really cool. He's a very smart guy. I've met him a couple times at the draft. Nice guy. Great guy, deserves all the accolades he gets. However, today he got a backpatting tweet, which he retweeted, by the way, that was like, "Hey, Jay, you were right the other day to say that they should have settled this a year ago, man." This just in, Jay Glazer also wants you to know that the water is wet, the sky is blue, and the earth is round. Listen, no offense to Jay Glazer, but I was saying that a year ago. Adam Schefter was saying it, I'm pretty sure Aaron was saying it. More than likely, Mo, the dude you used to hang out with at the bar last year during Jet Miami Dolphin or Dallas Cowboy games, he probably said it last year. This is not exactly curing cancer. Saying that the league and the players should have done something last year. I mean, you might as well next tell me that, you know, that the moon is not made of cheese. I mean, it just, yes, absolutely would have been nice if they'd taken care of this. Now, to some extent, there was no way it was going to happen. Because this sort of stuff happens, you know, in crisis. It's a crappy way to do it. It's how it gets done. But don't sit there and backpat someone because they made a suggestion that every single writer under the planet has made. Mike Freeman at CBS Sports, I'm pretty sure he said that. You know, Chris Mortensen probably said that at some point. It amuses me. Like, and it amuses me more than it's RT'd. Like, I sometimes someone will, you know, backpat me and I'll RT it because I'm feeling good about myself. I don't think I would have chosen that one. I just don't. Because there's no way in hell I can think that I'm the only person who came up with that little bon mot and threw it out there. I'm just saying. I'm not saying, but I'm just saying. All right, let's talk about the greatest sidebar conversation in regards to all of this league crap. We'll start with the news earlier this week that the guys I call the Fantastic Four, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Vincent Jackson, and Logan Mankins. Now, one of these things is not like the other. One of these things does not belong. I'm sorry. If you're not a Pats fan or a hardcore NFL guy, before this week, you might not know who the hell Logan Mankins is. So, player on the Patriots, who, with Jackson, has gotten hosed in the past year with the change in the, you know, free agency rules and the restricted tags and all that crap. Everything that the owners got away with last year, Mankins and Jackson both got jacked on. And it looks like they're going to get hosed again this year. Rumor had it that the CBA was getting held up because those four, the Fantastic Four as I call them, were looking for special treatment. There were no rumors about the rest of the people on the suit, not Brady, not the rest of them. The rumors went from Manning and Brees wanted lifetime exemptions from from, you know, tags, franchise tags, to Mankins and Jackson want $10 million. They were all over the place. Before I get to Cluey's fantastic response, let me just say this. For sure, the players in the Brady antitrust lawsuit deserve something. They took a risk. Now, mind you, a risk that maybe some of the other players in the league would have taken had they been asked, but they were not asked. Of course, they weren't asked because their name wasn't that big. I mean, Mankins is on there because, in part, he got hosed last year and has been hosed in the past, and he's got a real beef when it comes to the franchise tag. But Manning, Brees, Brady, they're there for marquee value. But there's a risk. I mean, there's always a chance that this entire thing could have blown up in the player's face, and maybe we're all livid at Brees and Manning and Brady for screwing the game up. So there's risk to their image, to their marketing, the whole nine yards. They should get something. You know where they shouldn't get something from? The owners. And I have a couple reasons for this. First of all, it's just a messed up jagwagon move to do that in the middle of negotiations. Either you're negotiating it from jump, or you're not. You don't throw that in the 11th hour. You just don't. In my opinion, that's just heaving a giant monkey wrench where it didn't need to be. Secondly, you're asking the owners, the guy you're bargaining with, for something that nobody else in the league is getting. To me, that's shady. And there's a, to me, that's gray area right there. There's a little bit of under-the-table dealing, and I'm not going to say the Breeze and them were out there, and they would have sold out the rest of the players for this or anything, but let's be quite honest. If things didn't go well, it would come up, and it would come up repeatedly. It just doesn't look good. You're being paid off by the guys you're suing, but not everybody's getting the benefits of that payoff. I do think they should get something, though. They should get something from the NFLPA and the players. The NFLPA and the rest of the players should find a way to honor and reward the guys, and not just the Fantastic Four, but all of the guys who are on the lawsuit. Now, that could be that they go into that supposed lockout fund that they have somewhere and pay them out of it. It could be they throw them a party in a parade. I don't know. Frankly, I don't care. They should get something. But it should not come from the owners, and it should not be something where the deal is contingent on. That's just bad business. Now, a lot of the discussion was is that it was their lawyers, or it was the agents, it was all these other people. Here's another piece of Hollywood insider thought process for you, and a lot of you already know this. The players should know this. Your lawyer slash agent slash representation works for you, not the other way around. Mind you, you put food on their table, but they work for you. So when they make stupid decisions, like bringing up stuff like an exemption lifetime for a franchise tag, right before you're supposed to be voting on some sort of agreement, or when you've just finally gotten to the point where everything looks like it's going to rail along, there's still some small details, but it's looking good. When they go and do something dumb, like stop everything because of this, that's on you. That is your responsibility as the represented player. And I'll tell you what, if Breeze or Manning or any of them, you know, the rest of them, weren't on the phone screaming at that point, they're just as responsible for the chaos that ensues. Breeze finally came out and said, I don't want special treatment. Jackson said the same thing. There's still rumors lingering. It just looked bad. Speaking of looking bad. So, good old Chris Cluey. He's a punter for the Vikings. Those of you listening to this on Cheesehead TV, the hated Vikings. That's just for you. I'm going to look up Cluey's initial tweet. But essentially, Cluey was not very happy about what exactly these guys were going to come, you know, try and get. I was not happy with the Fantastic Four. I'm trying to pull his tweet back up. I could pause, but you all know that I'm fumbling along anyway. So, this is what happens when Nagler's not here, let's be honest. Okay, so Cluey, upon hearing about the Fantastic Four, tweets out, and you can follow him at Chris Warcraft on Twitter. See? Huge nerd. And I respect that. You know, if you listen to this podcast, that Aaron and I would respect that. He writes, sigh, and once again, greed is the operative byword. Congrats, Breeze, Manning, Mankins, and Jackson for being that guy. Hashtag douchebags. I thought that was incredibly funny. I don't know if it was funnier that then I discovered what a big Warcraft nerd he was, or funnier because it was just flat out hilarious, and it was pretty much what everyone was thinking. I mean, for everybody who's out there like, oh, I shouldn't have said anything, nah, you were thinking the exact same thing, man. The exact same thing. Well, so, not everybody liked this. Specifically, one former Broncos tight end, Nate Jackson. Now, you may be going, hey, hold on. Nate Jackson. Who is that guy? Because I don't remember seeing much about him. Yeah, well, right now, he's a free agent. He mostly has been a guy who has been a special teamer. He was undrafted in the 2002 NFL draft. Signed by the Niners as a free agent. Was on the practice squad, then waived. Then went to the Broncos. Signed on for the 2003 season. Was there until 2008. Was converted from a wide... He was signed as a wide receiver to begin with, then became a tight end right around 2005. Really didn't do a whole hell of a lot. Went to the practice squad in 2009 for the Browns, released before the season began, and last seen with the Las Vegas Locomotives of the UFL team, and was not on the roster for 2009. So he hasn't really been playing. That Nate Jackson. So, you know, how you haven't heard of him, let's be honest. What rock are you living under? Goes on a rant. Now, if you want this rant, go over to Deadspin.com. Now, I'm not a huge Deadspin fan. I never have been. Deadspin, to me, is more useful for the fact that they go after ESPN and it amuses me than it is for virtually anything else. There's nothing really newsworthy on the site most of the time. It's a lot of gossipy stuff. It's sort of the TMZ of sports reporting. And that includes, I mean, and they're much worse at a site like, say, Sports by Brooks, who at least on occasion has a real story. Deadspin very rarely does, unless it's sensationalistic, which is where this Nate Jackson thing comes in. So go over there and listen to it. But basically, Jackson goes after him for what he says is validating the media's assertion that the lockout is all about greedy players, which I never took that tweet to be, but there you go anyway. And punters are the absolute bottom of the totem pole, says Jackson. The very last man. If the team plane crashed on a deserted island, he'd be dinner as soon as the food ran out. Most of them know this and understand that it's in their best interest to keep quiet. Punters don't get to call other players douchebags. Again, every other kicker in the league knows this and keeps it all in perspective. Cluey's job, juxtaposed with the duties of his teammates, screams douchebaggery, and now Cluey has compounded his lack of status by exposing himself as a turncoat. Now, first, again, let me point out who Nate Jackson is. Nate Jackson is nobody. All right, dude, you're calling out a guy who has been in the league for years as a pretty damn good example of his position on the field. You know, you're calling him a turncoat. Dude, you're unemployed. You know, you're pretty much not fit to carry his jock because you couldn't stay on the field. Back to this. He goes on talking about, you know, how punters aren't really people. You know, when something needs to be said, it's only a couple players in a locker room. It's never a punter. The right to speak is earned, and the vetting process, although unspoken, is crystal clear. You speak up when your teammates start looking to you for guidance, not because you talk a lot, because you draw cartoons on a locker room whiteboard, but because you have been tested on the field and proven your worth. I don't know. Punting's not the end-all, be-all of skills, but a good punter is key to a game. A good punter can pin a team back in their own end. A good punter can save his team's tail with field position. I'm just saying. Although Cluey might have thought he was speaking for his peers, he most surely wasn't. His peers would hope that Peyton Manning and Drew Brees, or anyone else who finds himself in a rare position of having leverage against the league, would use that leverage wisely and get every possible cent out of an NFL power structure they have come to see as oppressive and exploitive. I don't know. Take that from what it is for a guy who's been on the practice squad most of his career and then didn't do much for the Broncos for a long time. He goes on and on. Rips all over him. You know, basically says he's a wuss, like won't go and hit anyone unless he gets accidentally screws up. I don't know. What's even better, though, is Chris Cluey, who responds. And again, go to Deadspin. It's the only time you'll hear that on this podcast, I think. You talk about me like I'm some kind of disease, he says in his little rebuttal. Like punters are some kind of infection that should be excised for the good of the game, and how dare we raise our voices when our betters are talking. Already, I can say that I like this. According to you, punters should be happy to sit in the corner and be treated like...
Shut your mouth.
Yeah, it's not exactly what he said, but it's a family podcast. Anyway, because we do something different, something that the other 54 members of a team can't do. Wait, let's parse that last clause for a second. Something the other 54 members of a team can't do. Huh, would you look at that? Tell me, Nate, how well can you punt a football? What's that you say? You can't punt a football? Then why in the F would you think that just because I can punt, my opinion is less valid? He basically goes on to satirize Jackson's rebuttal and basically saying, you know what? When somebody makes a D-bag move, it makes us all look bad. If all of us look like grasping, blackmailing, money-grubbing jerks who only cares how much blood we can squeeze from the rock that is the fans, you know, the people who ultimately pay for all of our wages, I'm not a fan of that. And then he says, owners, make sure you pay attention, too, because charging outrageous sums for drink seats, seat licenses, while great moneymaker, is definitely counterproductive, and in the long run, especially with the advent of high-def TVs, dangerous. You know how to grow football? It's definitely not by beep on the people who spend money on you. Maybe it's a small thing, but small things add up. And he does say that Mankins and Jackson got screwed by the CBA situation last year. And he basically says, listen, it isn't that bad to be under the franchise tag. And in perspective, the RFA offer, you make more money as a doctor might earn his entire life. So exactly how bad is that? So there's a lot of salty language in it, but if you're entertained by people fighting and arguing, this back and forth is great. I mean, you know, on the one hand, who's Nate Jackson? On the other hand, Chris Cluey's a punter. But it's never better than when the guys who are on the lower end of the league kind of speak out. You know, and again, you know, I think Cluey was really just thinking what's saying out loud what most of us were thinking, which is like, now, seriously? I mean, how many people did you see on Twitter who were like, really? Now is when you do this? A lot of them, Cluey really just probably said something publicly that maybe should have been left in the locker room. I mean, we had this conversation with Harrison a while ago. Maybe Harrison shouldn't have been ripping Big Ben in public. Maybe Cluey shouldn't have been ripping the Fantastic Four in public. But I respect the fact that he was angry about it. And frankly, I think it made me think a little bit more highly of the rest of the players. Because we already know it was BS. It was nice to know that the players, at least some of them, thought so too. And I find it really amusing that a guy who's no longer in the league, and actually not even with the UFL anymore, felt so compelled to get his name in the press that he had to go right to Deadspin. It's like Mercury Morris coming out with the Dolphins to, you know, praise another season that is no longer undefeated, so the Dolphins are only undefeated team in the world. After a while, it's like, dude, you're just sad you're not in the limelight anymore. One day it'll be Brett Favre. Or maybe it's Brett Favre now. But I digress. So, definitely check out the Chris Cluey, Nate Jackson, brouhaha. It is incredibly hilarious, in my opinion. And Cluey is a very weird cat. I mean, as a punter, they tend to be a little bit off-putting at the best. But I have a feeling, you know, and Cluey was like, I'll call you out if you're an owner. I'll call you out if you're a player. Fair's fair. So I kind of respect that. You know, Jackson, I don't know. I mean, he's a guy who, you know, does some writing, does some other stuff, but I'm not 100% sure why I'm supposed to care what he thinks about what Cluey says. You know, on the other hand, you could make the argument, why should I care what Cluey says? So that was this week in Twitter slap fights. And, you know, this is sort of the CBA podcast again, and I'm sorry about that, but, you know, that's kind of all that's happening right now. It's not time for the Tommy DeVito short and insane free agency period. I thought it was last night. I tweeted out as such, but nope, not yet. It's not even time. I mean, what it really is time for the Alec Baldwin coffee is for closers speech yet again. And by the way, I used that in an article, a guest article I wrote over at the Jets blog. So go check it out. It's from the midweek. It was about my man crush Mark Sanchez. If you listen to the show, there's some points that I've made before about him. But I agree with Aaron in that it is kind of a make-or-break season for him. He really needs to take a step forward in 2011. And the Jets need him to take a step forward. So I did that. I will have another article, actually, at the Jets blog for their Hall of Fame series about Weeb Eubank. So that's going to be more interesting for Jet fans than anyone else. And I'm in the middle of working on a whole bunch of stuff for footballguys.com as well. So I just did a Sanchez and a Hakeem Nicks breakdown. If you have the opportunity to head over there and check it out, you can. A lot of that is becoming subscriber material. Again, it's about that time of year. If you're a subscriber, check it out. If you're not, Joe and David, the owners over there, they have a money-back guarantee. And I was a subscriber before I was a writer, and I think it's a fantastic site. There's a ton of great stuff, and I highly recommend it. That's the end of the commercial, which... I guess I'm not paid for it, so I should take it back. Joe, David, yeah, where's my check? But so I'll be doing some more team stuff over there as well. But to wrap up the CBA talk, I think the deal ends up happening this week. There are certainly some writers out there. Jason Whitlock is one of them who says that, you know, the players actually have the owners over a barrel. Because let's face it. And it's no secret that the owners give way more of a damn about the preseason schedule and the revenue there than the players do. The players get very little money in preseason. Now, there's roster bonuses and stuff, but that already is either gone or will be given out anyway. Like, the offseason's gone. There are several players who are going to be poorer for the fact that the offseason was lost because they don't get their workout bonuses. But it's like almost $200 million in revenue for the teams if preseason football is lost. Of course, you know, that means you, the fan, don't have to pay for four games you don't give a damn about for your season tickets. But I digress. So some guys like Whitlock think that they should hold the owners' feet to the fire and get a little more out of them. I'll be honest. You know, once again, this is a deal that I think is pretty worthwhile for both sides. I'm not saying that the players should run out there and rubber stamp it, because I just told you about a half hour ago that I thought that that was not the case. But I think there's more good than bad in it. So I really do feel that this week, probably towards the end of the week, we'll see a vote, and I think we'll see the players ratify this. I think there may be some back and forth. I think there's a few more things where there are tweaks that they need to make to the entire thing. We talked a little bit about them earlier. There's probably more that we don't even know about. But by and large, most of it is done. And I think that it will get ratified by the end of this week. You know, and the owners may even, you know, cut a couple other things into it because they do want that preseason money. But so I know you're all frustrated right now. We all are. We all want football. Yes, this should have been dealt with a year ago. Yes, this should have been dealt with 4 months ago. But let's let the end of the process end. And let's not scream at the owners and scream at the players over what is a very natural end to the process. You know, the owners ratified an offer. Let the players see the offer and react to that offer. And don't be surprised if earlier this week you see a counteroffer. Don't freak out. Don't go off on the players about it. You know, the owners sort of, it was an interesting PR move what they did. That's a lot of what it was, in my opinion. But there's definitely more pressure on the owners than there has been. I just don't think that the players should try and put the screws to the owners. That's what got us where we are today. Because the players were able to hold the owners over the fire. And the owners, you know, felt like they had to give in and got screwed. So ultimately, this deal's going to get done. This deal is going to get done by the end of this coming week, and we will have football. And you know what? Even if it's another week, even if I'm short by a week or two, we will have football, and we will have football on time, basically. The week may get pushed back a little bit, but there will be games. There will be games in September. We will have NFL football. And of course, we here at the Hard Count will be here every single week to give you our takes on everything that's going on in the league, which hopefully, at some point next week, will be the start of free agency. And hopefully, Nagler will come back. I know I might have scared him off. It's possible. No. But, you know, Aaron will be back this, you know, next Wednesday. I'll be here. And we will be going through, you know, whatever's going on. Free agency, whatever. Getting you prepared so you know what's going on as well. We're going to get into some sort of training camp stuff over the next couple weeks. And we're going to have a lot of great things, not only the end of the preseason here, or I guess it's just starting, the start and end of preseason, but also throughout the entire NFL season. We will be here talking football with you. There's a lot of great stuff coming up. I know it's frustrating right now, but this is almost over, folks. We are almost done with this labor crap, and then we can talk about things that are far more fun, go back around the league, all that, and more, here on The Hard Count. I'm Andrew Garda for the absent, but not in our hearts absent, Aaron Nagler, on behalf of CheeseheadTV.com and our coverage of the National Football League. Thank you much for stopping by, and we'll see you on our regular bat time on our regular bat channel next week, right here on The Hard Count.
You've been listening to The Hard Count with Aaron Nagler and Andrew Garda.
Let's go again!
Word!